Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No big voice, man. It's B. Scott in for John Lopez on this Football Friday. I am still Reginald Atatula hanging out with you. Figgy Fig, of course, on the ones and twos. And you rolling with this as we are going to do a little Texans win because Texans lose because big time week three matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. That shouldn't be this big, but lo and behold, this is where we are. You have to deal with that. And so let's talk about the matchups and how some of these things line up as we determine or as we talk through some of the factors that will determine whether or not the Texans end up with that first victory of the season, 713-572-4610. And I think that the first one to talk about is the one that I think it caused you the most grief, I guess, in thinking about this one that kind of scares you a little bit. And, of course, it's the one where you look up and of both of these teams, is there anything that somebody is the best in the league at? Oh, yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're raising your hand. What is it? Running the football.
Yeah, yeah. And so would this be – this would fall into the lose because category because they definitely lose because Jacksonville is able to run the ball down their throat as we saw Tampa Bay do just, I guess, now less than a week ago because that was just Monday. So we've seen that. We've seen that the Texans themselves can be susceptible to just even a competent run game, much less one that has shown itself able to put in some of the best work of the league. Now, albeit, we've had Texas come at us a little bit about who the Jaguars have played. Oh, it's just Carolina. Oh, it's just the Bengals who, without Joe Burrow on one end, and have, like, notoriously had bad defensive teams for a while now. Okay, we get that. But ain't nothing that the Texans have done necessarily that makes you think that they are that much different from those opponents. Like, could they very well be a similar level of cupcake? Could it be the same type of pillow fight, essentially, when it comes down to what the Texans are capable of? So, yeah, if they allow what has up to this point been the best rushing attack in the league and the Jacksonville Jaguars to be that against them, they will definitely lose this game.
Well, the thing that I think is interesting, and you mentioned run down their throat, and I know that you mean that just in a manner of speaking. This is not
right.
This is not. They actually run the football a lot of different ways. I was looking at inside the tackles versus outside the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pretty even split, actually, that they'll run it everywhere. So I'm interested to see. It doesn't seem like that'll be as much pressure on those tackles in the middle, but I imagine that they're going to stand up a little bit stronger.
The running down the throat was more so of a figure of speech as opposed to literally, but I'm glad you point that out. Because Seth's done a really good job of this in the morning show, pointing out, hey, it wasn't just the guys at the middle. They weren't good.
Right.
But nobody was. Like, as a staff labeling crew, the linebackers, the guys up front, the safeties. We were just looking a minute ago at the safeties coach for the Texans geared up and like in dummy gear, got the guys tackling.
Oh, not
them.
Dummy gear. He was padded up. He looked like he was practicing as well. This is Stephen Adigoke, who is the safeties coach, and this was Sam Warren was the one who I saw tweet this yesterday. He was out there getting after it, and they were legitimately tackling him. Wasn't no dummy. It was I am out here because they need to get these tackles.
That's what I mean. He was the dummy, like the and I'm not calling him a dummy, obviously, but he served as the dummy, the real person. Because hey, you know what? We ain't tackling dummies. We tackling real human beings, folks that's slippery, and y'all ain't shown a good job or propensity to be able to do it, and so they got to figure that part out.
And I'm going to be honest, I'm optimistic about their tackling. We've seen this Texans team, you know, tighten up on their tackling before. I was talking to you about this in a break. I think Matt Burke does a great job of highlighting what they do to get themselves back, and they are going to emphasize, as I mentioned, there's been evidence of them emphasizing tackling in a different way this week. Plus, can I interest you in more stats? You know I was going to bring you stats.
Let's do it.
The Jacksonville Jaguars faced, I believe they faced off against a stacked box 6% of the time. Or no, they just have not dealt with a very much stacked boxes.
Okay.
And I think the Texans are more inclined to do that. Also, the 6% number actually is the how often the Jaguars stacked their box. I think that that goes the other way, and with the Texans hopefully getting a little bit more push, maybe leaning a little bit more into Nick Chubb, hopefully even Woody Marks, will they get an opportunity to get better runs against the lighter box with this offensive line and with the fullness of the five that they were hoping to have on the offensive line? Maybe, just maybe, they'll be, the Texans themselves will be more efficient running the football if there's fewer guys in there.
Yeah, you'd like to think so.
I'm trying.
You'd like to think so. I'm much more optimistic about, like, how we talked about with the tackling and them sort of figuring that out. Like, if for no other reason, like, if a D'Amico Ryan's team can't tackle, what are we even talking
right.
about? Like, I know we got all these questions about the offense, and they're valid, and we're going through it. But at the very least, like, the identity, like, attitude reflect leadership. Shout out to Remember the Titans, right? Like, I mean, you gotta at least be true to the identity of the leader of your team. Like, y'all out there not tackling. I can only imagine what that must be like for D'Amico Ryans as the head coach of this team, as the leader of this team, to not see them do that as well. So, yeah, man. And look, stack boxes, no other reason. Like, think about what D'Amico Ryans and how he's talked about this team, talked about the Jaguars, I mean. He says it starts with Travis Etienne. It starts with the run game. It took him a while to get to Trevor Lawrence, and I don't think he meant that as disrespect, but I think he was trying to be as honest as possible as he could as far as how he views this offense. It starts with actually tending to this run game and actually being a lot more attentive and paying more attention to the details than they have in these first couple of weeks.
Can you blame him? Travis Etienne is running for 7 a carry.
Yeah.
Like, you got to stop that. Like, that's first and foremost, right? I often kind of disrespect Amara St. Brown by going, I don't know that he's a guy that a defense comes in their game plan. They go, we have to stop this. Disrespectful. I understand. Right now, ETN is existing as you look at the whiteboard in that meeting room, and the first name that they write down, ETN, because 7.2 a carry is going to lose you a football game.
Yeah.
If you do anything similar. Even if he's like, well, you know, I slid it back to like 5.5. Loss. Like,
yeah,
that's a problem defensively. Yeah. So they definitely need to corral that.
Not to mention what Travis Etienne kind of provides to you, or provides them, and how he threatens you in a number of ways, because he can also catch it out of the backfield. He's a very dynamic player.
From the 3-4-6, Texans win because CJ decides to quit playing nice and balls out. I do wonder, and I've talked about this a little bit, and this is a little bit off topic from this game in particular. Would you see CJ kind of finding a time where he goes, all right, damn all of this, stay very nicely within structure, and then kind of break out of it a little bit? Because CJ, we know, whether it's, you know, rookie year, even last year still, there was instances where outside of structure, out, you know, off schedule, he made plays, and it feels like right now he's not doing that.
Yeah, it takes me back to whenever I see comments like that, and when we kind of pose this question or try to have this conversation about CJ, for lack of a better term, just playing with the confidence that he used to, it makes me think about that final game of the regular season his rookie year.
Colts?
Against the Colts, and they just put him on the table. First play of the game, deep shot to Nico Collins, and we here, baby. Like, the confidence in the play call, I understand it was Bobby Slowick at the time, the confidence in the play call, the confidence in to just grip it, and what C.J. Stroud did there, obviously the emphasis on Nico Collins being that guy. It's like, hey, man, what happened to that? What happened to put him on the table, Texans offense, as opposed to whatever this is now? Like, and I'm not criticizing the whole dink and dunk approach overall, but just like the way it seems to have affected C.J. Stroud between how they've played over the last, let's call them 16 to 17 games or so, and C.J. Stroud specifically not seeming to play with that level of confidence. To the Texter's point, like, put him on the table a little bit. Put him on the table a little bit. I wouldn't hate seeing it. Now, I also mentioned earlier that the Jacksonville Jaguars are out there in position and taking the ball from folks these days.
They are.
Like, they seem to be doing that. So I don't want to be, I don't want to have a little too much hubris here, but I would like to see them put them on the table a little bit.
And that would be a Texans lose, because if they do indeed lose the turnover battle, you end up in a dicey place. And you did do a great job of mentioning how the Jaguars have had five turnovers. And, of course, admittedly, that's against a Carolina Panthers team helmed by Bryce Young and then a Bengals team who was being led by Jake Browning on the day. So those are worth noting. How about this for a Texans win? Because Trevor Lawrence this season has faced a quarterback percentage of 20.8%. That could stand to double with Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter bearing down on him. And that can change in the entirety, especially if the Texans do a good job of maybe stacking the box, but definitely stopping the run and tackling. If Trevor Lawrence is now in more circumstances where he needs to use his arm and he's under pressure, what we've seen from Trevor Lawrence thus far in his career does not scare me in any means. In fact, that feels like the defense, especially the secondary that has not had very much opportunity to take the ball away, should be licking their chops.
Yeah, so the one redeeming quality, one of the few redeeming qualities, I should say, to be fair to the Texans, is that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson still look like, for the most part, I know they had some trouble in the run game. Of course, we talked about this a lot. But they still look like demons as pass rushers. Like, they still look like those guys. And I would point out specifically with this game, Trevor Lawrence versus Derek Stingley Jr., a tradition like none other, Derek Stingley Jr. picking off Trevor Lawrence, that'll be my Texans win because, and we can kind of two-part it or offshoot it a little bit. This is not me picking a side, but the Texans, or not picking a side, but the Texans win because Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson are getting after it, or Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. are getting after it on the edge, and Derek Stingley, more specifically, Derek Stingley Jr. picks off Trevor Lawrence. I'm calling my shot right now at 1:15 p.m. on In the Loop as we do the Texans win because, Texans lose because segment. Derek Stingley Jr. picking off Trevor Lawrence in this game. And if they win, that's the reason why they win.
I like it. Right, I like it. All right, very good.
Let's go.
How about Texans win because Christian Kirk back? Braxton Berrios back.
That was going to be my first pick.
I think
just simply.
Some of this is like, I know that there's a lot of frustration with not utilizing Jalen Noll. And look, the possibility is that that frustration remains. There might still be frustration with not utilizing Woody Marks to the amount that we want.
Yeah.
But at the very least, getting a different variety of wide receiver in there that actually handles the slot and does slot receiver type things can hopefully create some separation that Justin Watson wasn't able to, especially over the middle, and give CJ some opportunities to be effective, more effective, that is, in the passing game without even the Texans' decision makers having to change their mentality, at least as what they've had early on, to utilizing their young guys.
Yeah, and if it does, and you hope it does, maybe it even opens up some opportunities for you downfield. Who knows? Like, I think these things can have a ripple effect. And to the point of Christian Kirk, like, it's hard for me to argue with this because obviously he hasn't played for him in the first couple of games. But I've been advocating for the Christian Kirk signing. Oh, and I know they traded for him, but I had been advocating for Christian Kirk basically since the beginning of the offseason. And we haven't seen it yet in a regular season game. The offense has struggled mightily, specifically in the areas in which he could help them. So, yeah, no, I think that Christian Kirk being back, as crazy as it feels like it's crazy to say they were like a Christian Kirk away, or they were an Ed Ingram away, but these things turned out to really matter, right? Like, it turned out to really matter more so than you thought.
You saying that made me mad. It made me more mad than it did make me happy. Because the fact that
I ain't like saying it.
All right.
But, I mean, it is to make Lopez lose his mind from wherever he's at. It is kind of what it is.
It is what it is.
I'm going to cut that and send it to him. Please understand. All right. I mean, how about we lean into these final ones here? As we're talking about Texans win because, Texans lose because. Texans, they said lose, but I think they mean win because of superstition. 11 straight division wins on the road. I think that it's just, this is what it's been. Ain't no reason for it to stop being like this unless you slack on your pimping. So, yeah, man, go ahead and go and get that one. And maybe finally, because we could still circle back to some of these things that we're thinking from the 832. Texans win because losing is not an
option. Thank you. Thank you. I like that one the best. It's the least scientific, but it's the most spot on for me.
Like this has just got to be a want to. I think everybody in that organization, we've talked about it with all the, you know, hearing all these guys at the podium between D'Amico, CJ, they all seem fed up with it. They don't like this tone. They don't like this tenor. You need to go do this on the field to stop this feeling from being around the team.
Texas win because they can't lose. Can't go back.
Can't
go back. Ain't no option. Going 0-3, and especially with the way the schedule plays out in the future, like, you were supposed to win at least one of these first three games, if not two of them. And to lose this one, I mean, completely changes the narrative of the season.
I know I leaned into the Texans win because I feel like some of them is also Liam Cohen is just like better at this than we get him the credit for.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, he is. I talked about the whole run game. He gets credit for quarterback play or, hey, he's going to come in here and help Trevor Lawrence, which, by the way, he's doing. But also the run game, you know, apparently his defensive coordinator hire and the defense showing up. Like, overall, as a team, I was not given enough credit for how much could change with this coaching change.
Yeah, but the Texans win because you just can't afford to.
Can't go back. Can't lose. Texans win because they got to.
Yeah, 0-3 is not an option. It just simply isn't. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here on a Football Friday. Remember, this Football Friday continues on here after 2 with the fellas of the drive at Talyard Brewing there in Sugar Land, where you have the commemorative pint glasses, the Football Friday pint glasses this week. With the drive faces on them, so you want to get out there and get those. But right now is the time where we hand things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us, bro?
Yeah, so I got an interesting thing I came across on social media from somebody pertaining to CJ Stroud. And would you? 713-572-4610.
Yo.
Plus.
Yo.
That is a yo moment. Hey, yo.
Plus, it's an Apple Pay prank that's been going around. And I got to get y'all hip to this.
Okay,
man.
All right. Public service announcement coming here in the loop. We'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Football Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. So we've been having a lot of conversations, especially this week, about one CJ Stroud. And I feel like it's more questions and comments about CJ Stroud than it ever was since he's been a Houston Texan. And this one kind of piqued my interest a little bit. And let me be clear, I do not want to trade C.J. Stroud or anything like that. I think.
Let me be clear.
Yeah. I'm not even really talking about this conversation or anything like that. But shout out to my dude Kev, who run the Beltway Boys page on Twitter. So he been really critical about the Texans offense and all that stuff, even C.J. Stroud to a point. And he tweeted this, Texans wasted CJ rookie window, and he's not a QB who can elevate a roster, and they will pay Will Anderson Jr. This could get ugly fast. So I just kind of want to get y'all thoughts on that statement in general. Just a quick thought.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thought. I don't agree because they're going to pay C.J. Stroud. They're going to pay Will Anderson Jr. I thought based off of his rookie year and for all of the conversation about a downside last year or him kind of falling off last year, it wasn't to enough of a degree to erase what he did his rookie year. So
do you feel like his rookie window, because once he paid, that's it. But do you feel like that was kind of wasted a little bit?
Yeah, so this is year three. Technically, the rookie window is what, the first 4 years, right? Because the money wouldn't kick in until probably the fifth year.
Year five is the fifth year option as a first rounder. And that's a little bit more, but it's still not compared to what you would be as a top quarterback in the league. So I typically view it as the first five.
Yeah, so okay, so fine. So the first five. Yeah, I think it's way premature to say that they've wasted the rookie window. And I do not agree that they're not going to pay him. So, yeah, I would not agree with that. But I understand where he's coming from.
Is he saying that they're not going to pay him or that they will pay him? It'll just be bad.
Yeah, they're going to have to pay him and Will Anderson Jr. And that's when stuff can
– Yeah, I guess the
teams
whole –
teams could get a little tied.
Yeah, I guess I got confused by the – he's not a QB who can elevate a roster.
I think the point and of
so
that I, is
– So it feels you, like you're saying
– Once you get to the point where you're paying him – the whole idea of the salary cap situation is when he's when he's eating up a quarter of your salary cap, that's less money that you can distribute on those other things. So your quarterback needs to carry more of the load, elevate the roster more, and he doesn't feel, if I'm reading this text correctly, doesn't believe that CJ can do that portion of it.
In fairness, they do have, if you include, because this year's only two games in, they have three more years of his rookie of the rookie window that we're talking about. So yeah. I think it's way premature to say that.
Yeah. So how you feel about how premature it is to say this? So somebody retweeted that comment and said, "Trade him to Cleveland or Carolina, please." So I'm like, all right, come on now.
Wait, to Cleveland? I mean, I understand.
Cleveland or Carolina?
Cleveland has remained your mark, trademark, whenever you need to. Hey, y'all want y'all a Brock Osweiler? Come get this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you trying to get this Deshaun Watson? All right, it's all you, big fella. Yeah. Like they have remained your mark. There's no way they do it again. Like even let's create a alternate universe where they don't have Deshaun Watson eating up all their cap. You think they would do it again?
Wait, hold on. I'm gonna get there because Beltway Boy, shout out to Kev. He tweeted, "Browns got another three first round picks they want to send us with the looking emoji." So I you know, this is very premature, and I said it at the beginning. I'm not interested in trading C.J. Stroud. But if it's for three first-round picks for the Browns, would you think about it for at least a good 20 seconds?
Yeah, I think there's almost no player out there, except for maybe some of the obvious ones, and maybe even them, that three first-round picks you wouldn't at least think about it and have the conversation. I'm going to land on a definitive no. That's going to be my answer. But do you think about it for 20 seconds to your question? Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much every player.
I feel like last season, the beginning of last season, that wouldn't even be a conversation. It's like, hell no. This is our franchise quarterback right here. Nope.
I'm not doing it, to be clear. The conversation, yeah, we at least talk about that. Yeah.
No, I mean, you'd be
crazy to not talk
exactly
about it.
Yeah. No, I think it's kind of interesting because even Deshaun Watson went for three first-round picks and some other stuff with the off-the-field type stuff. But at least he had that 2020 season where he was like, all right, he might be something there. He that's a franchise quarterback right there. But with C.J. Stroud with the last two seasons, or this is very early. It could change this year. But I'm wondering, like, dang, three first-round picks? Can I get another mark right there?
I still think that C.J. Stroud is good enough. And I maintain this, that the whole idea and reason for getting picks like that is to get players like C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson and the way that they've spent this capital over the last several years to begin with. So, yeah, I like the idea of, you know, maybe trying to start that over. But the whole idea is to get guys like this. And I still think he's one of those guys.
Yeah, the thing with it, and I know these first 2 weeks, and I know it's not just that. Maybe you also include last year. But for the people that are feeling a little bit out on CJ, I think what they think is, all right, the ceiling isn't as high as I previously thought. For me, I'm operating a little differently. I think the ceiling is still just as high as I thought. It's just the percentage chance that he reaches that ceiling has pared back for me, if I'm going to be entirely honest. I don't know exactly what those numbers are, but to illustrate it, if I had previously thought there's a 70% chance he hits a ceiling, I've pared that back to, let's say, 50% chance, but based off what I've seen and the question that I have. But I still believe in that 50%, proverbially, he could still reach that ceiling. And that means that I still want to play in this ball game right now without getting out of it for three first round
picks. But how much does that decline or that lessened belief have to do with, and this is not to not hold C.J. Stroud accountable, because I definitely think he needs to be held accountable for when he doesn't measure up. But so much of the lack of belief or lessened belief for me has less to do with him and his actual ability. I feel like I still know what kind of player he is, and more so am just dumbfounded by his circumstance and situation where it doesn't feel like they've surrounded him enough, especially when it comes to the offensive line, the situation with the play caller and the offense itself. Like, the reasons to not believe in C.J. Stroud are, like, for me, 15 to 20% C.J. Stroud at the most, and the rest of it to do with what it's has happened around him.
No, you're right, but the thing that I have to acknowledge, and I hate saying this because, again, life ain't fair, and sometimes the things that happen to you, a lot of times I think you know, aren't actually your fault, but you have to deal with the fallout regardless. When it comes to quarterbacks in this league, we've seen quarterbacks who I honestly, a number of them that I thought were good, but because of circumstances, they are hampered and hurt. And I think that there is something to be said about what last year looked like and at least what the possibility of this year could be depending on how they are able to answer in the next 15, 16 weeks of things plus. Could also be something that factors in lowering the possibility of hitting that ceiling that we believe for C.J. Stroud. All of this is way early, but again, this is the thing that sports fans do. We ponder and we think about it, especially when times are feeling a little low. That's when we get to doing all sorts of figuring as if we are in the chair of a GM, even though we're not. That's kind of the fun of it.
It's just kind of interesting, too, because, like I said, we right now overreacting to everything now. But we is coming to a place where he's probably going to get around $60 million.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And if this is the play you're getting from C.J. Stroud, are you cool with that? Or would you punt on him and get those three first-round picks if you can? So it kind of made me think about it a little bit. I think he's going to be good. I think they just got to get the offensive scheme together.
What are we doing here, 713?
Uh-oh.
Three firsts and a Shador would be tempting offers? Please. Please. Please.
So he could back up Davis Mills?
Be so for real right now.
It is weird to even be in a situation where he's clearly not playing well enough to where we're just secure. Think about it. Coming off that rookie year, hey, we figure, hey, we got the quarterback for the next at least decade or so, eight to 10 years at the very least. And now it's like, well, would you trade a few first round picks and start over?
Huh? Yeah. I felt like the Texans kind of got lucky on the quarterback this early. Usually it takes people years to get a franchise type of quarterback.
Man, they got lucky on the whole number one pick, number two pick thing. Like, people want to say, well, thank God they got the number two pick and didn't draft Bryce. That don't make what they did right. Like, they should have been in the position to pick their own quarterback, number one overall, and it just so happened that they got the right one at two. But they lucked into that situation. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, or Carolina got the wrong one at number one.
And they got lucky because Carolina went the wrong way. Obviously, Carolina should have drafted C.J. Stroud.
I love how quickly we become spoiled as sports fans just in general.
Yeah.
Because you could easily go, Where were you 3.5 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How were you feeling?
I was on this.
You were like, the next time I get these, I swear to God, I'm going to appreciate them. We are this far and we're like, hey, yeah. Hey, get them out of here.
Yeah. Come Shador. It's the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So are you guys familiar with this Apple Pay prank people
No.
been doing? So people been doing this Apple Pay prank. I don't know if you guys familiar with the sound when you use Apple Pay. This sound?
Yeah, I am.
That little sound right there, that cool little.
Yeah.
That means your payment has gone through.
You just caused PTSD for someone. They started checking their wallet. Like, oh,
wait a minute.
Ah.
Well, apparently, these pranks been causing a lot of PTSDs with folks, too.
Yeah.
So you have people just recording with their glasses and all that stuff, going up to people in a random Walmart and just playing this sound, that sound that I just played by somebody's phone, and people was kind of crashing out over it. Here is the first lady. She's a white lady just minding her business shopping, and the guy asked her for some money, and this is how it went.
You wouldn't happen to have $20?
No, I don't.
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
No, I just need it.
Hey, somebody manage me. What did you do to my phone?
It was just 20.
You better get rid of my stuff.
It was just 20.
I don't give a damn.
I'm going to give it back.
Call the police.
Yeah, that's right.
This guy just took his phone and stuck it up to mine.
Hey, yo.
Call the police now.
No, I'm.
No,
I'm going to leave.
Call somebody. You work.
I'm going to leave.
He just stuck his phone on mine, and it went ding.
Mm-hmm. And it went ding.
I do love that she had no idea how to explain that, which I understand. I feel like I would have just been like, he stole from me.
Yeah.
Right. But she was just like, the ding happened. The phone touched and ding, and I just somebody, which I would have done.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest. I feel like I hope I'd have been more coherent. But I would have immediately been like, no. You are not leaving. We need to make sure everything's clear here.
I'm glad you said that because she did not say, oh, you're not leaving anything. Let's go to a black man. This guy decided to do this to a black man.
Uh-oh.
And this is how that went.
Do you have any chance?
Any what?
Any chance?
Change?
Or like, no. Just like $20 you could donate, bro?
Nah, bro. Get the fuck up off me before I blast your ass.
I just needed $20, sir. Nah, my mom's sick.
Hey, bro. If my shit come up... On that,
Mom, bro.
Don't with me.
Bro, I just needed some money.
Nah, bro, listen.
I could change it to 15. Or
turn that mother off, whatever it is.
I could change it to 15.
No, you're not leaving about this mother door.
You want me to, I'll give it back?
Bro, listen.
You want me to give it back?
I'm going to be waiting at this front door.
He said, you not leaving out this store.
He also didn't understand what was happening, but he's like, what we not going to do is leave until this is figured out.
He said,
that for damn sure.
He said, get up off before I blast your ass.
Hey, whether it's a bruh, whether it's a white woman, I ain't playing that prank without a willing participant.
What state was this in, by the way?
I don't even know. It was all over the place.
It can't have been in this great state of Texas, can it?
Well, it might have been from that dude saying, I'm going to blast your ass.
Yeah, man.
He probably had that hammer on him.
I'm trying to say, like, we got open carry out here, half for a few years now. Like, everybody always had guns. Not everybody carrying them.
Yeah.
Like, yo, what are you doing?
Yeah, this is the last one. This is a black woman and a black man. This guy decided to do this, too.
This is the same thing. Look. I bet. Thank you.
No, what the hell you just did?
No. What you just clicked on?
Nothing.
What you just clicked on? Let me see that. Bro, let me see what you just clicked on off
my
phone.
Wait, why are you making a scene,
no,
bro?
Bro, let me see what you just clicked on off my phone.
What you just did?
It's just like a little trick.
Let me see it.
What you just did?
Let me see it, bro, because I swear, if you done stole something, we going to have a big issue.
I'm going to just go.
No, you ain't going to go nowhere until I see what's going on.
Go get the police.
The police?
Bro, what you just clicked on her phone, bro?
I'm 16, sir.
Bro, I don't give a f*** if you're 19. It could be six.
Damn.
What you just clicked on a phone, bro?
It's a prank.
Bro, you about to get the prank. Ain't no prank.
Hey, man, somebody introduced this dude to the idea of a pocket rocket.
Yeah.
Man, look.
Yeah. I do love that the man in this couple, at first he seemed like he was trying to keep it cool, and you can hear the exact point when he's like, oh, no, this is another level. And it was well before he started. You could tell he was mad at one point because he started saying things that didn't even make sense. He was just like, I need you to understand I'm upset. But I love that you can hear the very moment where he goes, oh, no, okay, this is we have to take this to another level. This is not enough.
Yeah,
it's not
sufficient. Yeah, no, they wasn't playing around. But be careful out there, man. People don't be playing around. Like, I don't, me personally, I don't like those type of jokes
at all.
Like, dog, I'm in here probably stressed out trying to get my shopping done so I could get home. I don't need you joking around like you stealing from me, man.
I don't care if you're six. You could be 19. You could be six. You better not have stolen nothing off my Apple Pay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he wasn't having it. And by the way, before we get out of here, special salute. I got to give a special salute to Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones. His, you know his hit record back then. It is finally platinum.
Oh, that's
it. It's platinum. 20 years later, this song came out in 2005. So it is finally platinum.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, so salute to Mike Jones. Also, special salute. I got to give myself a little credit and my man Ryan Rocket. Tonight is the 300th episode of my podcast, Gems and Juice.
Shout out to Gems and Juice. Congratulations.
We made it to 300 episodes. Salute to everybody that been supporting. We've been doing this podcast since I was part. It was no Figgy Fig when I started this podcast. This was 2017. Yeah. So, yeah, salute to everybody. B. Scott was on the pod. He was a friend of the show.
For sure.
You got to get Reggie on one day. But, yeah, man, a special salute.
Man, let me know.
Shout out to Gems and Juice.
I would absolutely love to join. And shout out to Mike Jones, Houston legend.
Yeah.
Getting some love, man. Getting a platinum record.
Hey, Biggie, I'm surprised you had that Jay Prince ready.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised you had that Jay Prince drop ready, baby.
Oh, yeah. Qualified.
Yeah.
All right, Figgy's Mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, we're getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. A football Friday, and this Friday it's out there in Sugarland, Talyard Brewing. Go out and see them. Get yourselves in the drive commemorative pint glass for Football Friday. Before we get there, though, let's draft the weekend. What are the games that we're most excited to see? We'll do that next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, a Football Friday. It's been a very, very fun show. Appreciate all of you rocking with us on the text line and the Mokarem Injury Lawyers live streams. Much appreciation to my partner for today, B. Scott, sitting in for the OG John Lopez. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, Figgy Fig, always on the ones and twos, always doing a fantastic job. I appreciate you. We're getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive who are out at Talyard Brewing out there in Sugarland. Right there by Constellation Field. You want to get out there, get yourselves an early look at the drive edition of the Football Friday pint glasses that are out there with the faces of all the fellas of the drive. You want to get your hands on those, so get out there and see them. But before we do that, I would like us to draft the weekend, gentlemen. Let's talk about what it should be a really fun weekend in all of sports. What are the games that we're most interested in? Of course, you know, we like to do this as a full draft. We go around, and B. Scott, I feel like since you're sitting in, we should give you the honor of going first.
Can I interest you in some Broncos Chargers?
Yeah, he took the one. He took
did
the
I take one?
Seed.
Did that's I a, take one of yours?
That's a good seed. That's a good seed.
Hey,
it's all good. Now Reggie got to trade back. He got to look for some trade back partners.
You know what? I've been talking to some people, and we might see if we
going. I'm gonna trade out of this pick now.
Hey, I tell you though, this is a deep draft, so it's not like you don't have a lot of games to pick from. But when I just look at the schedule and think about intriguing matchups, there are a few. But Broncos, Chargers, really, I would say this. I put it to you this way, and I don't want to take away anybody else's pick, so I'll just
– Oh, no, that's the whole point. It's a draft.
I'll vaguely
– Bleep everybody behind
but since I picked this one specifically, I need to give y'all a chance to go too. But I'm going to vaguely say this. Everything out west in the NFL, okay, and there's another game. One of y'all can pick it because it's on my list, but I picked this one, okay, to start. Broncos, Chargers – in the AFC West. But everything happening out west to me, just generally speaking, is really interesting. I think it's a lot of really good football teams in both the NFC and AFC West. These two are the ones we're talking about, Broncos, Chargers. Chargers, by the way, 2-0, came out and were emphatic, I thought, against Kansas City. I thought made a statement against Kansas City. The Broncos feel like they have a chance to kind of pick up where they left off. I know their first game left a lot to be desired, but I thought they responded. These are two really solid football teams. They're in that same area as the Texans of teams that are like trying to knock down the Mount Rushmore. If you really just want to knock it down to three, the Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo triumphant, like you're trying to find teams that are getting into that space. These are teams along with the Texans that are trying to get in there, and I want to see that matchup between the two.
Yeah, but I don't even think you need to go as far as like that triumvirate at the top of the AFC. Just bring it back to the AFC West, man.
Yeah,
like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly.
I think this could be a game where the Chargers at home versus a Denver Broncos team that is solid, but because of how solid, how really good the Chargers defense has looked, they could start trying to run away and hide from an 0-2 Kansas City Chiefs team that we know the reinforcements aren't coming too soon on. They might try and run away and hide and just take away this AFC West for the first time in quite a long time from KC.
It plays into my confession from earlier, too, that Kansas City's dynasty was done.
Yeah, so mine, tonight I'm going with the Astros, Mariners.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah.
You okay.
Yep.
You got Hunter Brown versus Brian Wu on the mound here. And I think part of what also makes it interesting, I imagine, is this the day that we see Isaac Paredes return, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, this is an important game, man. This is an important series.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be glued to this one.
Yeah. You get out early and you give yourself an opportunity, and then it's two out of, you know, it's win one out of the next two if you can win this one. So this one is a really big one to set the tone.
Set the tone.
So, yeah, I like it. I like that pick. That was going to be where I went. So you guys have picked along where I wanted to go. So you know what? I will be the college football sicko that I am. Give me Texas Tech, Utah. Give me that Big 12 matchup, 11 a.m. on Fox. I need it. I want to get my eyes on Texas Tech. I've heard a lot about them. I haven't had an opportunity to watch them. This is the perfect time. And I'm very sick because I like watching Utah play football just because it gets messy. So let me see what Tech has for real this year and how much of an actual contender they can be.
I mean, for no other reason, the fact that they've spent all of this money, right? Like, and if you're following it, and you did a good job of mentioning earlier how a lot of it is going into the line.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were talking about that earlier. But just the fact that they've spent all of this money and it's like a money where your mouth is kind of thing, like Texas Tech, how do you get a bunch of really good football players to move to Lubbock? You got to money whip them. So let's see if it worked. I'm with you there.
All right, let's go back around one more time before we head to the fellas.
All right, so I'm glad y'all didn't do this. And y'all, you know, I kind of dropped it in there about the whole West going West thing. I'm looking at Cardinals Niners too, man.
I like that one.
Two teams that are 2-0. And again, this is another division. I know you've already seen the Rams, but you're going to see these teams as well. So there's a little scouting element to it on top of that. But also, I feel like the Cardinals have been easy to overlook probably for a while now. Jonathan Gannon as a head coach was easy to laugh at in the very beginning, but I feel like they're a little bit better than what I've been willing to give them credit for. And the Niners also have just been a solid team for a while now. Now they're doing the Brock Purdy injury, how they respond to that. Like, I'm very intrigued by where the Niners go from here and trying to figure out what exactly are the Cardinals, figuring them both out before the Texans see them later on in the season.
Astros Mariners.
Hey, Saturday night. You'll take us.
Yeah, I'm doing what the Browns did. I'm gonna take two quarterbacks. I'm gonna let them battle it out, man.
Nah, that's good. That's probably the one that's the most intriguing of the three that you had this
week. If I were gonna pick an Astros Mariners game or a Mariners Astros game of the weekend, this would have been the one I would have picked. It would have been the Framber Valdez game, right? Like, this would have been the one for me. And the Framber Valdez George Kirby game, like, I think that's gonna be probably the most intriguing.
All right, well, I kind of like that everybody's picked in their same vein, so I'll do the same thing. Let me circle back around to the college football game slate.
Let's go.
And let me see. I like seeing people spin the block. I would like to see Auburn, Oklahoma, 2:30 ABC. Like, I just really want to see how this one lines up with Jackson Arnold returning to Norman. There was a lot of ones. I almost picked SMU, TCU, just because, you know, those two teams hate each other. And yeah, it might be a long time before we see that particular rivalry pop up again because they hate each other. And then, oddly enough, it's not going to be good enough because Atlanta, the Braves haven't been good. But Tigers, Braves this weekend will be interesting if for no other reason. Did you realize that the Astros are only two games back of the Tigers right now? So the Astros could end up, depending on how this weekend goes, and if the Braves find a way to play well above what they actually are, they could find themselves as the number two division lead as opposed to three, which would give you an opportunity to skip the wild card if the season were to end in that situation. So, I'm rooting for the Braves this weekend as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Tigers had a decent stretch there this season where they looked like the best team in baseball, and that has faded. Right?
It has faded.
There's nobody that seems like they're not gettable.
Go ahead and keep fading then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.